It is important to proclaim what we believe at Daleville Christian Church. And so this, our affirmation of faith from 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter in the 16th verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. God was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The gospel for today is from Matthew's book, the 2nd chapter, the first 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today, the 11th day of Christmas, the reading of God's word is the traditional reading for this Sunday. The Church of History and Tradition separates the readings of Christmas. Christmas Eve, we hear the report of the shepherds. 12 days later, the report of the wise men is read and heard. This makes sense for the reasons of a few things we do not know, and for the reasons of the few things that we do know. What we don't know is when the Magi saw the astronomical event in the sky. Was the event in the sky's appearance before Jesus' birth, or at the event of Jesus' birth? And we don't know how long it took the Magi to travel to the young Jesus. But what we do know is that by the time the Magi arrive, Jesus is no longer in a manger, but in a house. And when Herod put all the calculations together, he decided to kill any male child up to 2 years of age. So it is perfectly okay to put the whole manger scene together, but let's remember what we don't know and remember what we do know. In its way, this verse is a very good verse for what we call the new year. But we will focus on just a few verses of this amazing report. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Then after all the drama with King Herod, in verse 11, we read, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." Again, this season I draw your attention to what we have been desensitized to, this familiar report of the wise men and Jesus' birth. This familiar report contains news and information in the Bible that we barely take note of. News that in its day was amazing, surprising, and today we would consider shocking and maybe even frightening. And yes, I'm talking about the birth of the Messiah, our Lord, Jesus the Christ. Our very own popular retelling of this story wind up confusing us rather than truly explain this account of Jesus' birth in Matthew's gospel book. For example, we've heard and we've sung, "We three kings of Orient are." I've even made you sing it. We bought Carol's book so that we could sing that old hymn because it's been dropped from the newer hymnals, including our old hymnal. But we've heard "We three kings of Orient are" so many times that we might forget that the scriptures never tell us how many wise men were there. The Bible does not call these wise men kings, and it doesn't seem to have been the case that these men were kings. And singing that these men are from the Orient is not eliminating very many possibilities. To say that they were from Asia is just about as informative. But I grant you that singing a more correct hymn, such as "We, an indeterminate number of people of unknown status coming from an unknowable location," doesn't fit the music at all, and it's hard to sing. So we need to try something else. Now, I've preached on the wise men. I've taught about them. I've preached and taught about the star that they saw in the sky. I have preached about where these wise men came from. I've shown film clips of dramatizations of this event. I have shared maps of the Middle East. But all of this information does not seem to impress. All of this information does not deliver a punch to our gut like these words did when Matthew's people heard them for the first time. But I'm not going to stop trying. So allow me to attempt a brief retelling of this information. I have a couple of books by an author who attempts to do the very same thing, to retell the Bible so that we, the modern reader, the modern hearer, will notice some things that the Bible is saying. But we miss what the Bible is saying because it happened so long ago in a time and a place we barely comprehend. The author I'm thinking of has had several books published, so I think it's worth a try for me to retell this piece of the Bible for our benefit this morning. And I do believe that doing this retelling well takes some talent, and I'm not saying I'm any good at it, but I'm hoping that it is helpful. And when I finish, I'll talk about what I've said in light of what the Bible is telling us. So let's pretend it's a typical day in Daleville, Indiana. Let's say it's tomorrow, a regular work day. And at some point during the day, a stretch limousine pulls into the Marathon Food Mart right over here on Walnut Street. The driver emerges and appears rather nondescript. He's dressed in a limousine, as a limousine driver is dressed, with his black jacket and white shirt, black tie, and cap. However, out of the back of the limousine appear several individuals, men in what might be called traditional Middle Eastern dress. They look everything like a delegation from Saudi Arabia. They wear what people in Daleville probably call a robe, but it's actually called a thub or thawb, a long-sleeved one-piece dress that covers the whole body, white for summer, darker colors in winter. They also wear what Dalevillians might call a scarf, but is in fact a shmog or gutra on the head with the band that helps hold it on. While the limo driver puts gasoline in the limo, everyone from the limo piles into the food mart. They pick up a few things to snack on and ask some questions of the attendant behind the counter. He's not able to answer their questions, but directs them to Jim Shoemaker's place across the street. There, as you may be aware, many sage and wise men often congregate, and the men from the limo hurry across the street to gain an audience with the local town elders. Fortunately for the oddly dressed strangers, the town sages are present, in session, and available. The locals are surprised at these strange visitors. Not one of them could ever recall having seen anyone dressed like these visitors to Daleville were dressed. And the strangers asked some strange questions. One of the questions was, where was the President of the United States born? This question puzzled the local men, who could not recall that they actually knew where President Obama was born. However, the men said that the president, unless he was still on vacation in Hawaii, was certainly in Washington, D.C. But the strangers thought that the Daleville men had misunderstood the question. The question is, where was the new president of the United States born? They said that they had searched websites and Facebook. They'd gotten this far out of Chicago O'Hare Airport and now needed better directions. Again, the Daleville men were puzzled. Presidents are not born. Presidents are elected. And therefore, they could not tell the oddly dressed men where any future president was to be born. However, since these strangers were just off of Interstate 69, the Daleville men advised them to get back on I-69 south to Indianapolis and go to the State House and see if anyone there might be able to help them further. The strangers were grateful for at least this much information, which they were sure would get them closer to their goal. They walked back across the street to the limo. And since the limo now was filled up again with fuel, the driver got the party back into the limo and drove off, headed for I-69. As you might guess, this brief meeting on the corner of Wayne Street and Walnut Street in Daleville brought many questions to the men at Jim Shoemaker's. Who were these strange men, and what did they really want? The local Daleville men noticed that the men did not actually say who they were or where they were from. This tended to make the Daleville men suspicious. Although it is a tendency among local peoples here to not ask very many questions and yet still make snap judgments and strong opinions. Therefore, the group were becoming certain that these oddly dressed men were from the Middle East, probably Afghanistan or Iraq. They believed that these strange visitors were certainly followers of Islam. And if they were foreigners, as suspected, why were they asking strange questions about the President of the United States? The men then concluded that this group were terrorists. And if they were not terrorists, they were representatives of a front organization for terrorists. The local men then also patted themselves on the back for directing the terrorists to the seat of the state of Indiana government, where the authorities would be sure to pick them up, or at least track them to wherever it was they really wanted to go. That's the end of the story, the end of the retelling of what the Bible tells us. For the Bible tells us that the Magi came from the east. What was obvious to Matthew and Matthew's congregations may not be obvious to us. So in my retelling, the strangers are in traditional Middle Eastern dress. And that tells the Daleville sages two important things. The visitors are foreigners, from a foreign nation, and probably of a foreign religion. The Magi are not Jews. The strangers who pulled into Daleville's food mart are strange in more ways than one. They are not from around here. They are looking for strange things in a strange land, looking for things that we're pretty sure are strange even for them. Why would someone from the Middle East be looking for a leader of the free world that they claim was just recently born? It doesn't make sense. In the Bible, it didn't make sense to Herod's people either. As a matter of fact, no one at Herod's house knew the answer to the strangers' questions until Bible scholars were consulted. How and why would the answer to the strangers' questions be found in a book holy to Jews, but wholly to no one else? And the wise men seem perfectly content with the answer to their question, which comes from books that were not holy books to them. And here's the kicker. Verse 2 and 11, the wise men say, "We have come to worship the one born." And then in verse 11, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him." They came to worship this child, and they did worship him. The Greek word translated worship here has other meanings. For example, an act of prostration, which is in part of the meaning in verse 11, because the Bible says the wise men bowed down and worshiped the baby. Perhaps you have seen men of Islam in the hour of prayer get down on their knees and touch their foreheads to the prayer carpet. That is bowing down and worshiping. And that's exactly what the wise men did. But the word worship is the most common meaning in 10. It's the same Greek word used when Jesus quotes the great commandment, worship the Lord God and serve Him only. The word worship is the word Satan uses in Satan's temptation of Jesus, saying, all this I will give you if you, Jesus, will bow down and worship me. And worship was the response of the disciples after Jesus came to them on the water. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Remember, you worship God only. Jesus even said it. So if the wise men are worshiping Jesus, then they believe that Jesus is God. Worship is what Satan wants from Jesus. Worship is what the wise men give to the child, Jesus. One theory is that the wise men were members of a religion called Zoroastrianism. The Zoroastrian religion. It still exists today, although few in number. The wise men were certainly not Jews. I've never seen or heard of anyone suggesting such a thing. Now, Zoroastrianism believed in one God. Therefore, these wise men were demonstrating that they were declaring that they had been shown in the stars that the Lord had been born. They left their homeland to come see and bow down to the one that God has shown them was born. Therefore, the wise men, when they left home, left more than their homes behind. The wise men left behind their old ideas of who God truly is. And they left behind their old ideas of what God is doing in the world. The wise men left behind their old ideas of who God truly is. And they left behind their old ideas of what God is doing with this world. The Bible tells us they went back by another way. They went back home by another way, these wise men. But they didn't go back to the same old things when they got home. They were going to live different lives. The wise men returned home to live new lives. God had revealed Himself in a new way to them. They had seen God speak in the stars to proclaim that God had come in the child, Jesus. Out with the old, in with the new for the wise men. The Messiah, Jesus, had come. Emmanuel, God with us. The wise men were seeing now that God had come to be with humanity. God had come to save humanity. The one whose birth was made known in the skies was named Jesus, meaning God saves. The fact that the Magi were almost certainly not a part of the covenant people of the Jews suggests that Jesus is not just the Messiah of Israel, but of the whole world. We see in the wise men's worship of Jesus a vision for all Gentile worship of Jesus. Their story shows that God invites all people to offer up their gifts to Jesus. This point is especially sharp since Matthew's gospel is so Jewish. I'm touched by the fact that the Lord would give these wise men a revelation that they could understand. In their own religious practices, now, they couldn't understand all of it. That's why they need the chief priest's help for the last few miles. But a revelation in the sky that they could understand got them on their way to the Messiah. Matthew is letting us know that truly God speaks to us where we are in terms we can understand. God wants to make things plain to you and me. Even the shepherds do not have to guess at where and how to find the Savior Jesus. Jesus is in town, for to you is born this day a Savior in the city of David. And you will find the child in swaddling clothes. Jesus can be seen here and now. But this reminds us of something else we miss. Jesus is our Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah for people who aren't here right now. People who have never yet entered the church, or any church. Foreigners, strangers. Matthew is saying, and we believe Matthew, that Jesus is really the Messiah of people of other religions, just like these wise men. And that's not a very politically correct thing to say. And here's another very not politically correct thing to say. Matthew is saying those people who aren't followers yet, they will want to bow down and worship their Messiah, just like the wise men did. All of us have to leave behind our old ways of doing things, our old ways of thinking about God, in order to embrace our Messiah who has come and worship Him, the one who came to save us, Jesus, Messiah. And so a blessed 11th day of Christmas to you, and a blessed and happy new year. Amen.